Danish leaders are among the worst in the world.
Welcome to my podcast about work life and leadership in Denmark.
But what they experience at work, on the other hand, is sadly amongst the worst in the world. So employees...
Among the worst in the world?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Sadly.
That's some kind of statement. Among the worst in the world, I just repeat it.
Chapter 1. Danish society is at the top when it comes to quality of life. Sadly, experiences at work are among the worst in the world. These are the words of managing partner of Gallup in Europe, Middle East and Africa, Paul Senyan. Welcome to my podcast. My name is Søren Jensen. I've been a leader of communications for more than two decades. Today, I offer help, training and development to leaders and organizations in how to use communication as a vital management tool in their daily work life and leadership. This podcast is entirely voluntary and driven by passion. In this podcast, Parson Young will present and discuss some of the major findings from Gallup from 30 years of research and studies on work life all over the world. Gallup has two Nobel Prize winners in their research team. In the summer of 2022, Gallup presented their newest results from studying the engagement of employees in all regions of the world. If you find some of the headlines a little bit tough, then I would like to comfort you. The positive thinking, the potentials, and the visions and dreams for you and me and our societies gets more and more obvious towards the end. Gallup's conclusions after decades of studies and research are clear. We are lacking leadership in Denmark and other European countries that engages employees. And the potential in Danish workplaces and in other European countries are so huge. We can do so much better, and there are so many simple tools we can use. It is incredible how much we in Denmark and in other countries can learn when we look beyond our own borders.
My conversations with Parson Jan are converted into four chapters, 20 minutes each.
Let us begin.
Listen, two years ago, I met an article in a Danish newspaper, Gallup, telling that only one out of five employees was engaged in the work. And I was actually quite kind of shocked. And now I have, because that means 80% are not engaged. You are working with these studies, and you just released a new study this summer. Could you please tell me a little bit about the results from your new studies here? You just announced them, and what are the results in the world, in Europe, and of course in Denmark? We want to know about Denmark.
Yes, absolutely, obviously. And, you know, so at Gallup, we've been tracking sort of human sentiment about life and work for decades now. So it means we have a pretty robust database to see how are people feeling about work and how are they feeling about life and how is that evolving over time. You know, one of the big questions of the recent years is how has COVID affected all of us? How has COVID potentially had an effect on how people experience life and how people experience work? And perhaps, you know, to start off some of the big findings that we see, and I like to be positive, but I'm sadly going to start negative. One of the biggest findings we're seeing in the data globally, and you can really see this almost in all countries, is the increase in stress levels. So negative emotions are on the rise. People feeling what percent of the world feels stressed? What percent of the world worried a lot yesterday? What percent of the world felt sad yesterday? We've seen that all of these items have been going up to the point where now close to 45% of people report having felt stressed yesterday.
You say 35% all over the world?
45% around the world. If you look at those, there are regional differences where in Europe, that number is a little bit lower, at about 36%, and in Denmark we see a similar number, so it's around mid 30s in Denmark as well. But we're seeing these numbers rise around the world. So we're clearly seeing an increase in stress. And one of the questions that comes up is, well, it's because of COVID, obviously. And that is partly true, because when we look at the trend over the last 20 years, the increase in stress, increase in worrying, increase in being concerned, those things have been edging up year after year. Now, we could have a long philosophical debate about what are the reasons for this. Is it social media? Is it the very turbulent nature of our times? Is it what technology is disrupting so much of what we do? There are many reasons that might be explaining it. But one thing the data clearly shows is that people are feeling more stressed, more worried, sadder, more angry than they have in the past. So that's one of the big findings we have. The other big finding we have is around what is not changing. Sadly, what is very much the same, the numbers that you just cited that you saw when you first read about research, they have not changed much. Around the world, it is still approximately 20%. In Denmark, it's 22%. In Germany, it's 15%. In some other countries, some southern European countries like France, Italy, or Spain, it's even around 10%. In some cases, even lower. Those numbers have not changed a lot.
And for how many years you see these numbers?
So in Germany, for example, I'll use German data for that one because we've tracked it the most consistently. And over 20 years, it used to be 15% engaged. 20 years later, it's now 16%. It's moved up a little. It'll go from 15 to 18, 19, and then drops a little. But the year-by-year changes are never statistically meaningful. And if you look at it over a longer time period, it's actually not changed a lot. And what does that tell us?
It's the same situation in Denmark, yes.
Incorrect. It's been extremely stable. So we've seen the numbers be very stable over quite a long period of time.
So just to pinpoint it, 1 out of 5 approximately in Denmark, in Europe, in the world, then is engaged in the job. That means that 4 out of 5, 80%, are not engaged.
Yes. And it's important to clarify what has been said here, right? Because sometimes when we say that people think, well, people are not engaged, it means they are destructive or they're negative or they're causing trouble or they're not productive. That's not necessarily the case. So maybe it's important to distinguish what does it mean to be engaged? What does it mean to not be engaged? What does it mean to be active? Because they're different groups. When we say people are engaged, it means that their emotional needs at work are met, meaning somebody cares about them. They know what is expected of them. They have focused on the job that needs to be done. They're working with people who are working the extra mile, and they feel they have somebody who encourages their development. When those things are fulfilled, people are engaged. It means they give you discretionary effort. They don't just do the job. They want to do the job well. They're asking themselves, how do I do this even better? They're bringing their ideas. They take the extra step. So these are people who are really going above and beyond. To get the job done, but also people who enjoy the job. So it's not just that they're given everything. These are people who are getting a lot from work. Work makes them feel better. Work gives them friendships. Work gives them a sense of purpose. Work makes them feel valuable. So it's not just that they're working hard. No, they're getting a lot in return. And that is only in Denmark, 22%, around the world, 20%. The other two groups, it doesn't mean that they're not doing the job, but they're doing the minimum. I'm sure a term you've been hearing about a lot lately is quiet quitting, right? People have now started referring to it as quiet quitting, which I think it's funny because it's not new. We've been talking about this group for the last 30 years. Now we have a new name for them. Now we call it quiet quitting because that sounds cooler and it's on TikTok.
So just tell me quiet quitting. That is people leaving their job in silence because they're not satisfied.
Well, what they're saying in the, so the terminology has come about because of people who they're saying are, they're doing the bare minimum they can do at work. They're not quitting, but they're quietly quitting by doing the very minimum that they can do. And so emotionally, they're disconnecting from the work and just doing the bare minimum of what they have to do. And people who, and that sadly has been the majority of the workforce for decades, but now in the last, 2-3 months, the topic has come up and the language quiet quitting has come up and everybody's talking about it like it's a new phenomenon. But in Denmark, in Europe, and around the world, we've always seen that the majority of the workforce is not willing to go the extra mile, doesn't feel that they're getting enough emotionally to want them to give a lot emotionally to their organization. So sadly, that has been the norm. That has not changed in our newest set of data when we compare it to past data points. Mm-hmm. It has not changed a lot. It's actually stayed very, very stable.
And I ask you, listen.
Yes, please.
80%, you must have some pretty rough criteria for being engaged, or what? Can you explain this?
Absolutely. So that's a great question, because I think it's important to distinguish what we at Gallup refer to as engagement versus what maybe other people refer to as engagement. So if you look at some companies out there, they report in their reports, 80% of our workforce is engaged, 75% of our workforce is engaged. And we always question that, because the very best companies we work with have like 68, 69, maybe 70% engaged. Those are some of the very best that we work with. So when other companies claim 80%, I'm always surprised. And I look to see, well, what are they measuring? And some organizations will say, if you're satisfied with your salary, it means you're engaged. Well, that's not what engagement means. That means you're satisfied with your salary. If you're satisfied with the company brand, so if you work for a big, sexy brand company and you're satisfied with the company you work for, well, that's not engaged either, because some of the least engaged people in the world work for the most satisfying companies in the world. A big lesson that we learned in the mid-90s was that what are the conditions that make people feel good at work and perform well at work? That's for us what we were really trying to always understand. The objective is to create workplaces where people want to be there, it feels good, they're motivated, they have fun, but also that they are productive. At the end of the day, we go to work to get work done, right? We're not there just to have fun. It helps if we can have fun, but the purpose is to get the job done. So we were looking to identify what are the conditions that help people to get the job done. And what did we learn? It's not satisfaction. So it's not how much you pay people. Some of your happiest employees can be happy doing nothing.
Okay, listen, I have to ask you here, because 1 month ago, a national Danish newspaper had the front page, Danish workers are among the most happy in the world. And this was studies from the Danish National Research Institute for Working Environment. So, of course, what is this? We are happy. What's the problem? And then I come into this conversation to you, and you mentioned the word happy. But this means, what you say here means you can be happy, you can be satisfied, but that doesn't mean you're engaged in your job.
Well said, perfectly. And I'll repeat myself, a happy employee can be happy doing nothing. So, and it doesn't surprise me, I haven't seen that research, but I believe it. Because when we look at our own data, Danish are amongst the happiest people in the world. And I know happy is a hard word to define. What do you mean with happy? But a word that I like to use is thriving. Do people evaluate their lives positively? And when we ask people around the world, do you evaluate how do you evaluate your life today? And how do you evaluate your life, 5 years from now? So meaning, are you hopeful? Are you optimistic that things are going to move better? The Danish have amongst the highest scores in the world, where 7 out of 10 Danes are thriving in life, meaning life is good today and we're optimistic it will continue to get better. People feel less stressed than in many other parts of the world. Don't experience, so one of the items we study around the world is, have you experienced assault? Have you been assaulted anywhere in the last year? The Danes are amongst the lowest in the world in terms of feeling safe, where only 2% of people report having experienced any form of assault. Now, you could argue 2% is too much too, but in Germany or in France, that number is 4%. In Mexico, that number is 10%. So just to show you, there are many things that Danes feel very good about. I'll give you another example. Trust in our businesses. Do we trust that our businesses are not corrupt? The Danes have more trust in their institutions and their companies than almost any other region in the world. Now, it's still 24% is still, people who question whether we can trust businesses. Still, 1 in 4 Danes is still very questionable about whether businesses are ethically doing the right thing. But that is much lower than in other countries, where we see that number at 60, 70%. So there are a lot of very good things that we see in the Danish experience. I mean, it's, you know, how can I say this? You're lucky to be born in Denmark, and you're lucky to be Danish. The quality of lives that people lead in Denmark is arguably amongst the best in the world, period. But that is not necessarily what engagement is about. So the question becomes, what is engagement? So yes. If satisfaction is about the fulfillment of rational elements. So to satisfy you, you need stability. You need stable income. You need healthcare. You need to work for a good salary that you can live off, that you can have access to good food, and you know, all of these other things that influence the quality of our lives. Those things influence our satisfaction. Engagement is about the fulfillment of emotional needs we have at work, and in particular, it's a set of needs that whether you are a CEO, a journalist, a consultant, a receptionist, a driver. We've identified that there are emotional needs that everybody has at work for them to really feel good and for them to perform. And these needs, I'm not going to go through all of them, but to give you a sense of what they are about having a manager who fulfills my clarity of expectations, meaning they let me know exactly what is expected of me. And that sounds like an easy one, right? Well, guess what? When we look at the companies we work with in Denmark, only 50% of people say that they know what is expected of them at work in Denmark.
Only 50%. 50%. 1 out of 2. Yeah.
So it means that, you know, every second person goes to work every day and has question marks. Imagine how much time has been wasted. Imagine how much resources have been wasted because of those lack of clarity. A second driver of engagement is feeling empowered, feeling, do I have the materials I need to do my job? Another element is is there somebody here who encourages my development? We are engaged when we feel we have a coach. So when I feel that I'm working for you and you care about my development, you don't just care that I do the job that you asked me to do, but you're actually thinking about how to help me grow, how to get better, not to get a new job, not to get promoted, but how to grow as a person, how to grow as a professional. It means you're giving me feedback. You're telling me where I could do better next time. What did you see that was really good? How can I do even more of that? Another driver of engagement is, am I using my talents at work? Am I in a job that allows me to, you know, do what I do best every day? If I do, that is what engages me, because that gives me energy. When you do a task that you enjoy, it gives you energy. You want to do more of it. It makes you feel good doing it.
Investigations, they don't show that Danish leaders are at the top here or what?
I'm sorry to say that. So Danish society is absolutely at the top. So Danish society, one of the things we clearly see in the data is that Denmark, like many Western European countries, in terms of quality of life and life evaluation, we are very much at the top. Mm. So if you're born in Europe or in Denmark, you know, you got the jackpot. You know, people lead better lives, more fulfilled lives. They're more likely to be thriving. But what they experience at work, on the other hand, is sadly amongst the worst in the world. So employees...
Among the worst in the world?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Sadly.
That's some kind of statement. Among the worst in the world, I just repeat it.
This was the end of chapter 1. Danish society is at the top when it comes to quality of life. Sadly, experiences at work are among the worst in the world. In the next chapter, Parsin Jan shares some of the differences between European and American management style. Differences that might explain why European countries have some of the lowest engagement at work in the world.